It's a Plus One podcast from All Songs Considered. Today, an interview with Sylvan Esso. Back in April, right about the time Sylvan Esso were releasing their second album called What Now, the duo of Amelia Meath and Nick Sanborn got a bunch of their North Carolina buddies to join them in a studio in Asheville, North Carolina, to re-record a handful of the songs from What Now, this time as a big live band. Members of Y Oak, The Mountain Goats, His Golden Messenger, Mountain Man, and Megafon got together for a day at Echo Mountain Studios, and these sessions were captured to create a visual EP that comes out July 28th. And each day this week, NPR Music will roll out a new video from Sylvan Esso's Echo Mountain sessions. Today's installment is a version of Rewind. I was curious about these sessions, so I asked Nick and Amelia, who are in Durham, North Carolina, to join me in a conversation. And I start by asking about the inspiration behind this project.
Something we've been talking about doing for a while, since the last record. And then...
You're tired of each other, right? That's what it is.
Well, no, I think we just always like any time you get the opportunity to kind of approach a song in a different way, it allows you to kind of remove someone from being married to the original recording. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, I think you kind of get to see what the song actually is.
You do a little of that when you go from making a record to then just taking it live, right? You learn more about your tunes.
Indeed. But this was a new way. We did this project before we even really went out on tour with the new record. It was kind of a nice way to get out of like studio head, to like breathe new air into the songs.
Yeah, we had kind of just finished the record.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of in a headspace where we really wanted to just... yeah, let them breathe in a different way and kind of have a different relationship to it than we'd had the entire time we'd been making it, which, you know, I think for a lot of bands, it gets the last push of finishing a record is usually a little hairy. And so I think we were just kind of looking for a way to kind of get a better idea of what the songs actually were.
So back in April, the record came out in April, and then so roughly back around the time the record came out, you go into a studio, really beautiful studio, Echo Mountain Studio, is that right, in Asheville? Yes, is that?
Yeah.
Describe the space for people, and then describe who you brought into this wonderful project.
So Echo Mountain is a converted cathedral? Church?
Yes, church, yeah.
It's a church, and it has many rooms in it, but we got to use the cathedral room for this project, which was a dream. Because of all of the stained glass windows.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's just a beautiful space. And, you know, we are kind of used to much smaller studios. The music we make tends to exist in kind of a smaller space when mm-hmm. we're making it. So being able to go into a place like that where the live room is kind of a classic old live room, you know, it's just a space that lets something happen in a totally different way. The space itself kind of becomes a part of the recording, and it's like its own instrument, you know.
Mm-hmm. Makes you feel like a grown-up band.
It makes you feel like a grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
So the people you invited in are they're friends. These are people
a bunch of North Carolina friends.
Yeah, from our favorite bands around.
So we got
town.
Molly Sarley and Alexander Sauser-Monning from Mountain Man, who all both have their own bands.
Indeed, we got Ryan Gustafson from the band The Dead Tongues. He also plays with His Golden Messenger.
He's playing guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's playing guitar. Joe Westerland from Megafon and Grandma Sparrow is on drums, who we've played with a bunch of times in the
Indeed.
Past.
Yeah, and Jen Wassner, who's on keys and bass and like
kind of anything
can get her hands on.
She can play anything, and she's amazing. And Matt Douglas on saxophone and flute.
You were mentioning Jen Wassner. I'm watching a video right now of Jen. She's on, I don't quite tell what the keyboard is.
Oh, that little reed organ?
Yeah. It's not a synthesizer.
I love those instruments. It's an old, it's basically like an automated harmonium. You know, like you plug it in and air moves through the reeds. And then it's this very kind of old kind of organ.
Mm-hmm.
I love how those sound. They just sound so emotional.
Let's listen to a bit of this, and then we'll come back and you can describe the scene a little more.
The friends you're making on the screen, they teach you how to be. You reinvent and feel that clean, and then you're back in love. ready be? Are you a rewind, baby, with so much to lose and no present? Are you a ready player in a one-shot scheme? Or are you splashing up a fantasy? Watch it, take it on me, take it on me to the rewind.
So describe what's going on here. You're all in one room, which is, or at least I think all of you are in one room, which is unusual for a studio session.
Gotta have the live sound there, Bob.
Yeah, we really wanted to do something that felt like a bunch of people in a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't want it to sound sterile at all. We wanted it to feel kind of flawed and in the moment. You know, we only practiced for an afternoon and then did all that in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we wanted to kind of keep it loose and imperfect. To kind of let it breathe in a different way, you know?
Did you do all of the songs in a day, or you just did this particular one? You did all of
them?
No,
all
we did
them.
All the songs in a day.
Nice work, people.
Thanks.
Yeah, we wanted it to feel like a session, you know?
It doesn't... I don't think at this point unless you gave them copies, it wasn't like music that everybody was super familiar with, so even... more heroic that everybody pulled this off in an afternoon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're just so lucky to be surrounded by so many talented people.
Yeah.
Who are all of whom are excited about contributing and being a part of something. I mean, it's just the musical community here is so rich. We're very, very blessed to be a part of it.
Indeed.
And I'm watching you, Nick, play bass here. Tell us who else is singing. We described some of the players, that cool guitar player.
That's Ryan Gustafson.
Really,
yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
His band is unbelievable. If you like that guitar part he's playing right there, his band is like that vibe.
Yeah, he's the number one North Carolina hottie.
The Dead Tongues.
The Dead Tongues.
Yeah, man. Oof, they're a great band.
Yeah, what a babe. and then singing back up for me there.
Can you say that again?
That Ryan Gustafson is the number one North Carolina hottie.
Yeah, he's a total babe. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know he sucked up most of the oxygen in the room, but who else is in the room?
So Alexandra Sazermaning and Molly Sarley from Mountain Man are singing backup right there.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's playing drums.
There's a flute player here.
That's
Douglas. That's Matty Bones.
Yeah.
He also plays in
Mountain Goats.
In the Mountain Goats.
And the Hot at Nights, this awesome jazz trio.
It's a lot of mountain things going on here. You got Mountain Man, Mountain Goats, Echo Mountain Stage.
It's the truth. Well, we're in a mountainous... Durham isn't in a mountainous area, but Asheville certainly is.
Yeah, we were in a range.
Indeed. It's an arrangement.
On the radio, no less.
Yeah.
I think Jen's playing the Wurlitzer there. Yeah, it's just... That was a beautiful part about this group of people is that... We'd start playing something, and everyone had listened to the stuff a few times, but they just showed up and just picked up whatever seemed like the right thing to do at that moment. I mean, I think Jen plays four or five different instruments throughout the course of the little record.
She's a talented soul.
Man, no kidding.
Yeah. Did she sing at all on any of these?
No, actually, she was really excited to not sing.
Nice.
I wasn't expecting, but it was great.
What did you learn about your tunes? I don't even know if you can express that sort of thing in words, but here's the idea is you tear something up, you put it back together. It's different than the original intent. Do the words take on different meaning? Is it something that you might add into a live show in some way? I don't mean bring all these people on stage, but I mean some of the textures and so forth.
Honestly, what it mostly taught me about the idiosyncratic nature of Nick and I's collaboration, which is that we like isolated ourselves in this like tiny zone and make these songs. And then when we bring them out to other musicians, a lot of the time was spent kind of explaining the rules of each song, which are actually quite weird when you break them down.
But since we had never had to say it out loud.
Exactly.
We didn't realize.
Yeah, that. Which was really, really fun to kind of let people in on this, what is usually a one-on-one interaction of our collaboration, being like, no, come into this weird zone that we've created.
Well, and yeah, and again, you know, we were right at the tail. We had just finished this thing, and this thing happens, at least for me and for a lot of people I know who make records, where right at the tail end, you kind of, you've heard all of these recordings so many times and in so many different forms that you kind of lose sight of what the plot is, mm-hmm. you know, like what the thing is that makes the song and what makes it good and what made you want to write it in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, a hugely existential problem. It's just like you've been listening to the minutiae of how loud the kick drum is.
Exactly. For,
like that's where your focus has gone, you know?
It becomes almost psychedelic.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's and you just lose it. You lose this thing that you spent so much time on. And so to immediately go and hear it, hear the songs, not the recordings, but the songs breathe in this totally different way and have them reflected back at us kind of by our friends and our community. It just gave me a whole new, it reminded me what they were.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get back to the center of the songs that we'd written.
Which I'm endlessly grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought of this, but it just reminds me of like a doctor, like a closely examining an eye or looking in your ears and having no idea who this human is, you know, and then going out and having a conversation and a dinner with them. And, oh, yeah, that's those eyes.
You start as a doctor being like, oh, I want to help people. And then slowly you're like, now I'm just ear, nose, and throat. Right. That's all I pay attention to.
Yeah.
You all said something that was fascinating to me that I want you to walk back with if you can do this, which is you said to teach people something like this, to teach people the rules of the songs, is I think the way you put it.
Yeah.
So if I start to play this, could you tell me what rules you would... Let's play a little bit. You think about it. What rules would you have taught these or told these people to... about the song. Let's give it a minute.
Give me a new single, make me a new baby, gonna eat all the candy while you're straddling, lay me, gonna know all the words before you come on tap, then I'll sing them back at you while you try to nap.
Ryan's looking pretty good, by the way. I just thought I'd add that in there.
Yeah, I'm a hot possum.
And Jen's playing bass here. So the rules.
Yep. So like for this one, this song is a very simple song. It's kind of one progression the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing. But the thing that makes the song is this pushing and pulling of the amount of energy that's being injected into that at any one point, you know?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't really until we started playing it with other people that we realized that, like, oh, the parts can change and the individual pieces can change. The thing that makes it the song is these various steps of how exciting it is in any given moment,
exactly.
How much air is in the balloon.
Yeah, it's growing intent, like figuring out how to energetically manipulate the song so that it's constantly moving forward and becoming like continuing to step up this stair that actually culminates in this breakdown that we're hearing right now.
But yeah, you know, like you think that on its surface it's a very easy, it's a very simple song. You know, it's just this one thing. But if you just play one thing the entire time, it's not very, it doesn't do what the song's
right.
supposed to do.
It's
you
gonna
know?
Do this. We got a sax going on here.
Oh yeah, it's Matty Bones.
Yeah.
Also the
go.
The intricacies of explaining to someone how to sing backup parts is really strange.
Oh, what would you
or
say?
Like what Like, well, you know, you have to talk about like what parts of words you want them to enunciate or what kind of vowel sound you want, yeah, which is actually quite hard. And usually you end up saying like, say the word like you're petting a cat.
So is that the
you know,
slave?
Or something like totally. It's yeah, or it's like the staccato notes of enunciation on like the. Like, what can we do to get you on the news? Which is actually like a big wuh sound. And then all of the other sounds are like very, very staccato and kind of just suggestions of vowel sounds, not really actually the sounds.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you're in the studio. So I think this is a big thing after you've done or if you've been through this thing that we went through, which is like making these recordings and slaving over them and being crazy. And you realize you're like deconstructing something after the fact. You know, you're after, it's like afterwards you're trying to recreate what happened during the car crash, you know? And you're like, well, it worked that time. Okay, what was it about it that did that? You yeah. know, what subtle thing was it that did that?
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. is interesting.
And you
for
can,
us,
you can easily kill it too.
Was there anything you did that didn't work? I mean, you put out five songs.
Oh, yeah.
Did you record
oh, yeah.
more?
There, I mean,
and they're in the clunker.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Oh, no, we don't discard anything. Yeah, that's not. Everything we do is pure gold. No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a band meeting for the first time.
Right.
I think that was kind of my favorite part of the whole thing was that it was getting to have a first practice with a band that had never played together before. So
yeah.
You're as a group just kind of trying to, you know, follow the river. And you don't always nail it the first time, but that's kind of the fun part is figigring out where you went wrong and retracing your steps and then finding the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's so inspiring every time it works out. It's just so cool.
Could you ever imagine like doing a whole record? I mean, you're doing this EP as this, but these are songs that were born. But could you imagine expanding your world for a record or a song on a record? With a band?
Potentially. Yeah. Not necessarily for Sylvan Esso, I don't think.
Yeah.
There's so much more for us to explore within our collaboration.
Yeah, I think it would take a while.
In making weird, freaky pop songs. I don't think we need other energies in the room necessarily.
Right. We're still figuring out R2 energies in the room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're still trying to figure out how to not be mean to each other, let alone other people.
Yeah, no, it's you never know. This was really fun.
Yeah, that being said, like there's you know, so much room for, we all collaborate with each other regularly on each other's projects, you know? So
yeah.
I feel like I've been getting that collaboration with all these people for, you know, the 5 years that I've lived in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, our records, I think when we find a song, we try to let it be what it wants to be. You know, we try to not get too much in the way and just figure out how it actually wants to come to fruition. And so I can totally see a future in which a song would ask for something like this.
I want to play one more thing, and it's so spare and beautiful. It's a version of Slackjaw.
This was a fun one.
That's Jen Mosner on piano.
Yeah, she's
and remind people the original piano. Song, the original version was basically a very tingly little synth.
Yeah, note, there's right? almost nothing to it.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's just barely holds itself together.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm above water, but mostly I'm at sea. Oh, slackjaw me, can't you see? There's so many rhythms and harmonies in a walking without a bag. It's not like I got hurt or broken or ruined on the way. It's an ache in each swallow, a swallow in a cage. Oh, of me. Can you see there's so many rhythms and harmonies in them walking the dark path? Is it a sign or just a landmark or a feeling roaming free? It's all
the words for you, Amelia, this is, I think you described it as life is awesome, but I'm still sad, maybe.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. you're in this cathedral-looking room, and is that sunlight or well, partly video lights, but it looks like it's daytime. Nick, you're on that reedy organ again. Is that you're doing there? And Jen's on the piano. When you, Amelia, hear such different texture behind a song, how does the inflection in your voice and that stuff, is it describable how it changes you?
Well, you know, it's like in any environment, no matter, you know, if you change your environment, you're going to adapt to it, right? So
yeah,
I think the original Slackjaw we actually recorded without any accompaniment. And then Nick added the actual arrangement under me. And so this was the first time I'd ever actually played the song with other musicians.
Wow.
In real time.
Yeah.
And the first time I'd ever so intimately played with Jen before, who of course had been like, guess what I did? I learned all the parts on piano too.
She's amazing.
Is that your official Jen Wassner impression?
Nobody knows this. That's what she sounds like when she's not singing.
Like when
she sounds
singing.
Gorgeous when she's singing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden she's like, oh, really? Guess what? Hi, it's me, Jen Wassner.
She sounds like a hand puppet, actually.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I have the tendency to do the same performance over and over and over again. Once I figure out what I like, mm-hmm. I can pretty much sing the songs as close to exactly the same as I humanly can. So I was for this project, I was trying to figure out how to not be so controlling and give myself permission to feel around in it, which I do all the time when I'm just like, you know, like sweeping and cleaning the house and singing to myself. But when I'm performing, it's really easy to just be like, no, you know what? It really worked that one time, so we're going to do it exactly the same every time.
Well, I think it was cool because we hadn't played it. You know, I think we'd maybe played it one other time. Is that even possible? Like one other time, maybe?
Yeah.
And then we just got this opportunity to kind of, you know, the same thing that happens with the rest of the songs on the thing. It was just, you know, we just got to be there and react to them as they were happening and let that lead the way, you know?
Yeah, it's a real gift to be able to re-feel your songs in an authentic way again, particularly because, so what we did for Slackjaw was we record the demo vocals, or we recorded those, and then we came up with the music and recorded that, and then we needed new vocals and discovered that it was actually really hard to get. This always happens, we fall in love with the demo vocals and then we have to redo them and everything just feels fake and wrong. And so it took us a couple days to realize, and like a really good fight, to realize that like we had to wait until like pretty late at night to record the Slackjaw vocals.
You did that because you wore him down, you wore Nick down and you could win the argument? Is that...
No. Oh, no. No. No, I just couldn't get the feeling right.
I see.
At all. Until
it's so tough with singing. I'm so glad I don't sing on things.
yeah. Well, it's got to be real.
Yeah,
or as close to
real,
unless the song's about being fake, which is so fun. But
I think that humans have really dialed in, you know, BS detectors. You know, I think we all know when someone's lying to us. And I think especially in music, you know, honesty, we talk about this all the time, me and Amelia, like honesty is, I think, the thing that across genre, across age, across anything else, that's the thing that draws us to music and all other artwork, is when something just has that ring of honesty and a genuine moment for somebody. And so we really try to avoid anything recorded feeling kind of performative, unless that's part of what we want the message to be. You know, and which is all why we always fall in love with the demo vocals. It's because it's like this really impassioned take
to get the idea out.
Yeah, right after it's being written.
Yeah.
Well, this performance of Slackjaw is just that. It's really exceptional, and there was no. I'm looking at it from the world of BS detector. I love that. I'm going to start to do that with music. Maybe I do that and I don't think about it, but it.
I bet you do.
Yeah, you totally do that.
It's really gorgeous. I can't wait for everybody to see all of these. All week long, we'll be rolling a video out every day, and it's really a treat. And I'm so happy you did this. Do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you. We absolutely will.
Yeah,
we had too much fun.
We'll figure out a way to do it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Amelia Meath, Nick Sanborn of Sylvan Esso. The new project is called Echo Mountain Sessions. Comes out July 28th as a visual EP. You can see all of the videos one day at a time, beginning today, Monday, July 24th, and carrying on every morning for the rest of the week. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Oh, it's like drive me, can't you see this song?